number six. John chapter number six. Amen. Very familiar setting, or at least it should be. We probably, it's not going to be anything new. Amen. No, well, there's not anything really new. The Bible even said there's nothing new under the sun. We just think there's something that's new. Amen. John chapter number 6 and verse number 1. Are you there?
There.
All right, there. All right. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. I'll let you be seated because I want to continue to read. Thank you for standing for the reading of the Word of the Lord. I know everybody knows Brother Josh and I have been there, but the Sea of Galilee is also the Sea of Tiberias. Same thing. And when you look and you understand where Tiberias, the city, the town of Tiberias is, we're going to see another town in the setting of Scripture that we're going to talk about here today, and you can look across the water. It's not totally across the water, but it's kind of kitty corner. And it took us from Tiberias to get around to Capernaum. I think it was about, if I remember correctly, I think it was about 35 to 40 minutes by bus. So it's a little jaunt, but you can still see it across the water there. Very interesting. I must say, and I apologize if I'm boring you, but it sure is amazing once you've been there to see how close everything is. But it seems very close because we're in modern vehicles. We can be somewhere so quickly. But when you really look at it, you think of if there wasn't any wind on the sea at that particular time, they would have to row or they'd have to walk. And this could take a very long time. It wasn't something that you just drove over to South Reno.
Right.
You know, it's going to take you, and you're going to go to South Reno, you're going to make a plan, and you're going to be over there all day and do whatever. So, and we even do that sometimes with a car, and we can make it back over here in 10 or 15 minutes.
Right.
Well, depending upon traffic. But nevertheless, you know what I'm talking about. We have so many modern conveniences, but when we look at, when we step back into that time and into that day, things were really quite a distance away, considering you had to walk or row a boat or something of that nature. It didn't just happen. Now, in verse number 2, as we go along in the setting that we're going to read this morning, it said, a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, of which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. So it's giving us some background of what's going on. Verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw the great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove them. He said, all right, boys, it's time to challenge you. It's time to take a step of faith, if you will. Amen. How many of y'all have been there before where you feel like you are challenged by the words of Jesus? Say, okay, it's time to step up to the plate. And how many of y'all face fear?
Amen.
Multiple times. But nevertheless, the challenge came. And so that's really what it's talking about here. And as he said to, and this said, he said to prove. Spit it out, preacher. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here. We got a little boy that's here, though, and he has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Now, I don't know why he interjected that. He almost made it sound as if, hey, we got something here. But then he has to finish the statement off by saying, but.
Yeah. But.
Huh? Oh, yeah, we've got some food here, but. But what are they among so many? So what seemed to be an act of faith really turned into be an act of doubt. Yeah, we've got a couple of loaves and some fishes, but we really don't have enough to feed this multitude. Verse 10 said, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in that place. So the men sat down in the number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. He prepared for them an all you can eat, not really a buffet. It was an all you could eat breaded fish line. Right? Not a buffet like we did, but they could eat as much as they wanted to. All right? Now that's also enough in itself. Amen. And then verse number 12, and they were filled. He said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Wow, isn't God something else? Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that the prophet of that prophet that should come into the world. There were some that realized that this was the one that the Old Testament had spoken of that would come unto the world. Not everybody got this revelation, but there were some. And if I can just, I read this, so I'm going to borrow it for somebody else. It's not original by no means. But when I saw this, it was a very catchy phrase, and I thought I'm going to use that right here. And my title this morning is going to be From Meager to Mega. From Meager to Mega. Now, meager is something provided or available, but lacking in quantity and quality. It is inadequate, insufficient, deficient, miserable, pitiful, and puny. That's what meager is, all right? So think of all those things. It's really not enough. Then I looked up the word mega. Mega is very large in size, capacity, or amount. But this is where it really gets interesting. Denoting a factor of one to the millionth. So all of a sudden, this very large, this large capacity, this huge amount has, I don't know, man, I wish there was, what would it be, babe? To the power of? Over the side of it or something like that? She's smarter than I am.
10 to the 6th?
Huh?
10 to the 6th?
10 to the 6th? Is that what it'd be?
For a mega.
Oh, for a mega? Okay. Well, 10 to the 6th. There you go. There's some. I don't understand all that. I know they put all these little numbers and stuff up on the side and really small and parentheses and all that kind of stuff. It means nothing to me.
Yeah, you're
smart people, it means something to them, but to me it means nothing. Other than I know what mega means is big, 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 times big, 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 big.
Big.
Okay? So that's redneck style. For all of you that are with me on there, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God, there's more of you than there are of them. Woo! Man, that felt good.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's more of us than there are of them. But that's okay. I'm glad there's smart people in this world. I really am. Especially I married one. And so she makes up the difference for me. Every everyone has something to offer God.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Not very many of you got that. Right? Everyone has something to offer God.
Amen.
I want you to turn to your neighbor or wherever it's convenient. Look at him and say, you got something to offer.
You got something to offer.
You got something to offer. Say, you got something to offer.
You got something to offer.
Yeah, I'm going to say to you, you got something to offer. I don't care what you think about yourself. I don't care how you perceive yourself. I don't care how you see your inadequacies. I don't care how you see what you don't have. God sees what you do have. And he's not looking at your meager elements, but he's looking at the potential for you to be mega. I got to admit to y'all something. Maybe I shouldn't. I struggled so bad yesterday. I told my wife finally at 10 o'clock, I said, I ain't got nothing. I've studied, I've prayed, I've read, and I've read. Brother Steve, you know what I'm talking about? I've done everything I know what to do, Brother Albert. And I told her, I said, I ain't got nothing. I'm as dry as can be. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to preach. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to bed. See what happens in the morning.
Yeah,
so I woke up this morning and these are some of the things that started coming to my mind and started coming together, and I was like, man, that's cool. Man, I'd like to do that more often, except I don't want to spend 9 hours of study and not get anywhere.
Right.
Nevertheless, that's sometimes how it works. So if this feels a little bit unrefined, I apologize. It's just going to be coming raw right from my heart. Just is what it is, all right? All right, not all the time is it like that, but this morning it's like that. Everyone has talents. Everyone has skills that God can use for the furtherance of his kingdom.
Amen.
If we give to God what we do have, he is able. Amen. He is able.
Yes. Amen.
He is
able.
If nothing else happens today, I'm hoping that some way, somehow, I can raise your faith up just a little bit higher. Just a notch or two higher to believe God that what you have, God is able. God is able. God is able to bless it and multiply it. There's too many folks walking around feeling like they don't, that they're not worth anything.
Yeah.
I should have had a whole bunch more amens than that, because we all have felt like that. And there's some of you that even though you got a nice little pretty smile on your face, and you got your hair all combed, and you got all nice and prettied up, you're still miserable on the inside.
Ain't that the truth?
And you're feeling like, man, I ain't got much to offer. I'm going to tell you, brother and sister, you've got something to offer. You just got to bring it. You just got to bring it to Jesus so he can do something with it. Amen. At the same time, if we are going to... let me say this first... Part first, I skipped over a line that I did happen to write. It doesn't matter what our perceptions are of our abilities. It's God's perception that counts. And let me take that one step further. If we are to be Christ-like, our perception of others ought to be like Christ's perception also.
Help me, Lord.
And now it's easier for me to believe in you than for me to believe in myself. Anybody ever fight that?
Yes.
Oh yeah, I fight that all the time. I believe God can do anything for you. That's why I'm excited about preaching this.
Right.
Come on now. I can believe God for anything for y'all. God can do it. God can do it. But yet sometimes we don't believe in ourselves. But I want to make sure that my perception is right and that it's of God, and that when I see, you may say, well, I got this wrong and I got that wrong. That's okay. That's your perception. I don't see you like that. I see you as able. I see you as capable. I see you conquering. I can see you victorious. Beyond what you can see. Nothing we give to God is insignificant. Nothing. We may think that we are the weakest in faith.
Yeah.
The poorest in finances. The most lacking in skills.
Right, right.
But if we'll give it to the Master and watch what He can do, we will be amazed. He's not limited to our limits. I hope this morning this doesn't mess you up. But even this morning as you heard me read, I am dyslexic. I graduated with a sixth grade reading level. Now some of y'all thought, oh man, I'm done listening to him. That's fine. I'm just proving a point that God can use anything. I used to be so scared when it was time to sit up and read in front of everybody in the class. I couldn't do that. I got nervous. I'm getting sweaty hands right now. Y'all are making me nervous. See, y'all are analyzing me just because I told you that. You're looking at me going, why in the world am I listening to this goofball, man? He ain't got past the sixth grade in reading.
That's all right.
But I don't come to you with man's wisdom and great smelling words. I'm just a sixth grade reader. Huh? Come on. And you could even hear, and I made some mistakes when I was even reading earlier, and I flip-flopped my words. And be careful if you're going to give me a phone number, because you may not get a call from me. I might flip the numbers. You never know what I'm going to call. Say, hello, hey, Johnny. Oh, sorry, that don't sound like Johnny. Sorry, wrong number.
What's that number?
Huh? And so you're looking at an individual that I stood in great, great fear, especially the very first time that I stood before the congregation and I had to read. And I'll tell you one thing for sure. When I read, I don't read for pleasure. There's nothing that I don't read for pleasure. It's too frustrating. Because there's so many times I got to go back and I got to read the same paragraph. Oh, now, some of y'all may not understand that, but I may be relating to some of you that have struggled because you don't feel like you're good enough and you don't feel like this. And maybe this is going to help some of you to say, hey, if that preacher that's only got a sixth grade reading level can step out on thin air and do what he's doing, surely I can do something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe it may not be your comprehension or your reading ability. It may be something else. But I'm telling you today that if you just give Jesus what you do have, He can bless it. He can multiply it. He can use it for His glory. And it doesn't matter what little you do have.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 26. I'm telling you today, there is nothing short. It is nothing short of a miracle that I am standing before you today. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God.
All right.
Amen. Amen. And especially in the longevity sense, it's been 17 plus years that I've been pastoring. I've been preaching for much, much longer than that. But God has been faithful. I'm going to tell you what makes me more uncomfortable than just about anything in the world. And that's when I get around people and they start saying, hey, have you read this book? And I go, no. And they say, hey, have you read this book? And I go, no. And then I go, man, it's nice weather today, isn't it, Teddy? I want to change the subject because I don't want to talk about reading books. I don't read them all. I don't know. I love it. Somebody had given me some books for Christmas. And they were this thin. Man, I'm like, dude, I can do that. But if somebody shows me a book like this, I go, Firestarter? Yeah, wrong answer to this boy. You show me a book much bigger than that, and I'm going to go, thank you. I'll be nice, but don't come back and ask me to read it. And it might take me years before I get to read it. I might get it. This is terrible. I'll tell you something else, an inadequacy about me. Man, I'm just beating myself all to pieces. But I want somebody to... I, I'm not doing that. I want you to understand God can use anything.
Yeah.
And I don't know a greater way to explain that when some of us feel such inadequacies and feel like we don't have much to offer, that we do have something to offer to the kingdom of God if we just allow God to use it.
Right.
I got 4 or 5 books right now that I'm going through, but I only can read about 1 chapter a piece. You know why? Because the other part of my disability... call it a disability, I call it a blessing. My other challenge in life is that I'm sorry. And I get all bent out of shape when I go over onto that side. So I can only read about a chapter and then I get bored. And then I gotta go to the next book and then I get bored. And then I gotta go to the next book and then I get bored. And some of y'all say, yeah, that's why you never finish a project. I know, but I'm a great starter. Jump on board with me and be the finisher and we'll make a good team. Hey, man. I say all that to say that sometimes we always are looking at the negative and what we don't have, right, instead of really looking at the positive of what we do have, and let's capitalize on it. Yes. Let's be the best that we can be with what we have.
Amen.
And not be so controlled by what we don't have.
Right. Amen.
Right.
That's good.
1 Corinthians 1:26 said, "For ye see your calling, brethren." Let's try it again. "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." It didn't say none are.
Right.
That's why most of you are rednecks in here. I say rednecks. That's just terminology that I used when I was a kid. I don't even know why. It just doesn't matter. You understand what I'm saying? That's why there may not be a whole lot of highfalutin, high society people in here. Matter of fact, I don't know of any, but we'll just say that there are some since you think you are. I'll go ahead and let you live in your rank-filling world. But nevertheless, it said not very many. It say none can, but it's not very many. You know what it is? It's really just the average old folk.
Right.
It's just the average old person that struggles day in and day out, just trying to do their very best.
Right.
Amen? Yeah. Verse 27 said, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise." That's why sometimes some people say, "Man, that preacher is crazy. He is crazy." But you never forget it, will you?
Right.
You'll never. What did I preach last Sunday? How many of y'all remember? Ooh. What did I preach, Felicia?
Mark 2, verses 1 through 12.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Just Martha got it.
I am not brilliant. I make.
Oh. Look at that. Everybody's like going, whoa. I got my notebook. What did I have in here yet last Sunday? There you go. Now, you remember that part, but what did we talk about? Tearing off the roof.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't say it enough. Okay, so we'll have to tear it off again. Amen. I'm going to tell you today, it's the foolish things of the world. He uses those things to confound the wisdom of the wise. God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, have God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. I'm going to tell you, God is interested in every one of your weaknesses, in every one of your insufficiencies, in your meager offering.
Right.
That meager your supply, oh, you've got something, but it's not a lot. It's pretty deficient. It doesn't have, but God said, that's what I'm actually looking for. Because the guy that has all the money, I can't really do anything through him. The guy that has all of the smarts, I can't really do anything for him. Because he's too smart for his own good.
Come on.
The guy that's got it, or the girl, whatever, you know what I'm saying. Whatever it is, the one that's got it all together, I can't do anything. You know what I found out? There's a lot of pretty people that got a lot of big time problems, but they look all right, and they're nothing but a bunch of fakes because they can't be real with themselves. Nobody got it together. And nobody perfect. Every one of us needs Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm here today. I'm here because I got some weaknesses. I got some deficiencies. I got a puny offering. I don't have a lot of strength. I don't have a lot of smarts. But God, if you can use there you go, girl. And you can use anything, Lord. You can use me because you don't need it all perfect. And you don't need it all fancy. And you don't need it all put together in a perfect package. I'm wanting him to take what I got, nigger, and turn it to the, what you say, 10 to something, 6?
10 to the 6.
Yeah, 10 to the 6. I want him to take it. Take what I got.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Jesus and his disciples were facing a huge, a monumental need. There were at least 5,000 men. Most scholars believe that it was, because it specifically said men, and it did mean men as in males, that there was 5,000 men, and that was not including women and children. So there's a lot of folks there.
Right. Yes.
I said, there is a lot of folks there. John 6, verse 2, it tells us that the multitude followed Jesus because of the miracles. They were, wow, look at this. I'm going to tell you what, though. And the more I get to studying, I'll have to get on this on a later date. Here's my ADD. You have to forgive me.
Can you forgive me?
Yeah.
Good, so I'll let it go. I've been reading in my Bible and studying and looking at some different things, and I'm looking where Jesus spent time alone in a place of what I'm going to even coin and say is intercessory prayer and travail. He got alone and spent some time in prayer, and then not long after that, miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle started happening. My point is, too often, I believe we're wanting the miracles without the prayer.
Right. Yes. Oh, yeah.
We want the wonderful works without the work.
Right.
And so I believe that if we get the cap turned around, we'll get in the right position here, and we'll pray, we'll see more miracles.
Amen.
You'll see more of the miraculous hand of God. I'm not saying that we don't right now. We do, but I want to see it to a greater degree. And so they saw this in Jesus, but it wasn't just because he was just pulling rabbits out of the hat. No, he was spending time in prayer. Why was he doing that? He was doing that to give us an example of how to have that type of following.
That's right.
Amen.
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 It's not by fancy magic shows. It's not by great songs and great oratory. Oratory. There we go. I knew it was something like that. And great musicians and great palaces and edifices and all this. No, it's because there was a power, an anointing on Jesus because of that prayer. And he was teaching us, because that's why he said, I'm going to transfer this to you. When I'm out of here, you are now in charge. You are to take what I taught you and mimic it, or do it like I did it. Oh, that's not in my notes, and I missed some, I lost some here. So we'll get back to Mark chapter number 6, verse number 34. Same story, different writer, with a few different words that I want to glean from that. Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. There was a burden in him. There was a compassion that was rising up on the inside of him. Why? Because they were as a sheep not having a shepherd. They were out there wandering around, and because Jesus was doing certain things, they were enthralled. They were amazed, and they began to follow him. You know what? People want good leadership.
Right.
They want somebody, lead me, tell me the truth, tell me what's right. Don't give me a bunch of empty blah blah blah. I want to know the truth. The scriptures say that when you know the truth will set.
Yes.
It'll make. It'll deliver you. It'll make you free. It'll set you free. It'll change your life. And he began to teach them many things, the scripture said. That word compassion means bowels a yearning. Bowels were thought to be the seat of love, pity, and sympathy. Love, pity, and sympathy. And there's a lot of us today, let's face it, the church in the most general sense does not have those ingredients.
Right.
Love, pity, sympathy. It's hard. I understand that. We sure could use a healthy dose of Jesus's type of compassion. I know what some of you think right now. There's too many fakes in this world. Well, now that you said that, you're right. There's a lot of fakes and a lot of phonies. I know, because when you read it in the newspaper or you see it on a news blurb on the internet or something like that, and you see that somebody was sitting there by the roadside begging, and they said, we'll work for food, and people give them money, and they walk around the corner and they get in a Mercedes Benz and they drive off into Wingfield Springs and they're living in a $900,000 home and everything's cool.
Right.
Because all they got to do is go to work grubby and dirty and have a cardboard sign.
Right.
I know everybody's not like that.
Right.
I know everybody's not like that. But because of the fakes and the phonies, our hearts of compassion, pity, and sympathy are
right.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, admit it. It isn't me, because I wonder, as a matter of fact, I saw one guy here not too long ago just off of McCarran and the freeway. It said veteran and all this other kind of stuff about veteran. And in front of me were two guys. One had a big Marine sticker on the back of his window, and another, the second guy behind him said, support our vets. And here this guy was having this sign, and they didn't give him one red cent. And I thought, man, I'd like to chase these two guys down and say, why didn't you give to your brother? You know why? Because there's so many fakes and there's so many phonies that they shut up their bowels of compassion and pity.
Yes, sir.
I say that we've got to be careful not to do that.
Yeah.
Not to be unwise, but at the same time, allow the Spirit of God, and I think that's where the difference comes in, that when the Spirit of God moves on you, you do it.
Yeah. Yeah.